Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Siege by Ben Macintyre revisits one of the most dramatic hostage crises of the late 20th century, the 1980 seizure of the Iranian embassy in London, and the tense 6 days that followed. Known for turning complex historical episodes into propulsive narrative nonfiction, Macintyre frames the event as a collision of diplomacy, terrorism, media spectacle, and emergent counter-terror capability. The story moves between the captors, the hostages, British officials under extreme pressure, and the elite soldiers preparing a rescue that would be watched by the world. Beyond the adrenaline of a ticking clock standoff, the book explores why the embassy was targeted, how negotiators tried to win time, and how political decisions are made when every option carries risk. It also captures the moment when a relatively new Special Forces unit stepped into public view, helping redefine modern crisis response. The result is a tightly focused account that illuminates broader themes of state power, propaganda, and human behavior under siege. I will give you key takeaways from this book firstly. Origins of the crisis and the grievances behind it. A central strand of the book is the chain of causes that turned a London embassy into a global flashpoint. The siege is not treated as an isolated outburst, but as an outgrowth of regional tensions and contested identities linked to Iran and its borderlands, as well as the turbulent aftermath of revolution. Macintyre situates the hostage takers as political actors using violence to amplify a cause, while also showing how their demands, internal cohesion, and strategic clarity evolved over time. The setting matters in embassy is both symbol and sovereign space, so an attack on it becomes instantly international, forcing the host country to balance law enforcement, diplomacy, and security imperatives. The book also highlights how grievances can be real while tactics are brutal, and how outside audiences may misunderstand the local politics that motivate such actions. By mapping the crisis to its ideological and geopolitical roots, the narrative clarifies why negotiators and policymakers faced ambiguity from the start. Understanding those origins helps explain the demands, the pressure on Iran and the United Kingdom, and the ways the crisis could escalate despite efforts to contain it. Secondly, inside the embassy hostage psychology and captor dynamics, the human story inside the building provides an essential counterweight to the operational and political narrative. Macintyre emphasizes the uncertain routines of captivity, shifting rules, sudden threats, and the exhausting need to read captors' moods moment by moment. In that confined space, individual temperament becomes destiny. Some hostages look for ways to calm situations, others resist, and many simply try to endure while protecting fellow captives. The hostage takers are also portrayed as a group under strain, managing fear, adrenaline, and the risk that a single mistake could trigger lethal consequences. The book examines how control is asserted through staging, intimidation, and selective gestures of mercy, and how such tactics can fracture as fatigue and external pressure mount. It also explores communication as power, who is allowed to speak, what messages are sent outside, and how captors attempt to shape perceptions through performance. By tracking micro-level interactions alongside the passing days, the account shows how a crisis becomes a psychological battleground, not only a tactical one. The emotional stakes sharpen the later decisions made by authorities, because every hour of delay can both reduce risk through negotiation and increase danger through deterioration. Thirdly, negotiation, decision-making, and the limits of diplomacy under fire. A key theme is the delicate architecture of negotiation during a public high-stakes siege. The book explores how officials use time as a tool, aiming to de-escalate, gather intelligence, and keep options open. Negotiators must project empathy and credibility without conceding too much, while political leaders weigh public safety against the precedent set by meeting extremist demands. Macintyre details the institutional choreography behind the scenes, police command structures, government oversight, and the constant assessment of whether the situation is stabilizing or sliding toward tragedy. The embassy setting intensifies every choice, since diplomatic implications ripple beyond London. Another focus is information uncertainty. Authorities work with partial knowledge about the number of captors, weapons, layout, and intentions. That uncertainty shapes everything from negotiation posture to contingency planning. The book also underscores how a siege becomes a national and international performance, with media coverage influencing the behavior of both sides. The hostage takers can exploit cameras to increase leverage, while officials must consider how public messaging might embolden or corner them. By showing negotiation as both human craft and strategic contest, the narrative reveals why peaceful resolution is often sought yet not always achievable, and why decision-makers must prepare for the moment talks collapse. Fourthly, preparing the rescue intelligence, rehearsal, and operational risk. When negotiations falter, the book shifts to the demanding logic of a potential assault. Macintyre portrays the preparation for a Special Forces operation as a blend of meticulous rehearsal and brutal contingency planning. The aim is not simply to storm a building, but to do so with speed, surprise, and controlled violence that protects hostages while neutralizing armed captors. Planning depends on intelligence about rooms, stairwells, windows, and choke points, yet those details can be incomplete or changed during the standoff. The narrative highlights how teams practice entries, coordinate roles, and refine communication, knowing that confusion inside a smoke-filled, noisy environment can be fatal. Equipment, timing, and rules of engagement must all be aligned to the strategic goal and the political mandate. Massentire also emphasizes the moral and practical weight of risk rescuers, except that they may be injured or killed. While commanders accept that even a brilliantly executed plan can produce unintended casualties, the rescue preparation becomes a lens on how modern states professionalize crisis response. It shows how elite units are built for rare, high-consequence moments, and how their success depends as much on discipline and planning as on courage. Lastly, the operation and its aftermath media shockwaves and lasting influence. The climactic assault is presented not only as a decisive tactical event, but as a turning point in public consciousness. Massentire examines why the operation resonated so widely, its dramatic visuals, the perception of precision, and the sense that a new kind of state response had arrived. The book looks at the immediate outcomes for hostages, captors, and responders, while also tracing the broader consequences for counter-terror policy, special forces reputation, and the public expectations placed on governments during crises. A major element is the role of broadcast media. The event unfolded in real time for many viewers, intensifying pressure on officials and amplifying the psychological warfare of the siege. After the operation, narratives compete heroism, controversy, and the unavoidable questions about force, legality, and necessity. Massentire treats the aftermath as more than cleanup. It includes lessons absorbed by security services, the institutionalization of tactics and training, and the way a single operation can become a template invoked for decades. The episode also reframes terrorism as a spectacle designed for attention, prompting states to consider not only how to win the tactical fight, but how to manage messaging, public trust, and future deterrence. The lasting influence lies in how this six-day crisis reshaped the boundary between policing and warfare in urban settings. In conclusion, this book suits readers who enjoy narrative history, true crime intensity grounded in documented events, and behind-the-scenes accounts of how governments handle fast-moving security crises. It will also appeal to anyone interested in counterterrorism, negotiation, intelligence work, and the evolution of special forces doctrine. The benefit is twofold. On a personal level, the story sharpens your understanding of decision-making under stress, how people manage fear, how communication can diffuse or inflame, and why preparation matters when circumstances are chaotic. On a societal level, it clarifies the trade-offs that democracies face when violence is used for political leverage, including the tension between saving lives immediately and shaping incentives for the future. Compared with similar books that focus narrowly on either the politics or the action, Massentire tends to integrate motive, personality, and operational detail into a single, readable narrative, making the event comprehensible without flattening its complexity. If you want a book that delivers suspense while also explaining why the siege mattered and how it influenced modern crisis response, it is worth buying for its blend of human drama, institutional insight, and historical significance. If you would like to support Ben Massentire, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.